Today's saint, Saint Alphonsus Liguori, is acknowledged as a master of spiritual, of moral theology, which means he not only had a profound grasp of the principles of right behavior, right Christian behavior, but he was also a master at guiding people in their spiritual life, in their moral life. And Saint Alphonsus is known for his balance, his prudence. He avoids being too rigorous, and he avoids being too lax. He doesn't condemn all sins and all sinners with fire and brimstone. That's too rigorous. If you're too rigorous, no one can be saved. But on the other extreme, he doesn't excuse all sins and all sinners. He doesn't say that it doesn't matter, that there's no such thing as sin, we shouldn't talk about sin. That, we're all good people. That's too lax. That's way too lax. That's the tendency of the world. Anyway, let's ask St. Alphonsus to guide us as we do a little moral reasoning today. We have announced that this morning's Mass will be a Mass of reparation for the blasphemy that was broadcast last Friday during the opening ceremonies of the 2024 Olympics in Paris. And since the special holy hour that we will have after this Mass will be a holy hour of reparation, it seems fitting to say something about this, about what we're doing, and rather than simply focus on the daily readings, which we usually do. Although you could say this is an exercise of sorting out the good fish and the bad fish. Our net has taken in some controversy, and we have to sort out. So there's three ideas I'd like to focus on here. One is, what happened? What are we talking about? Secondly, how can we properly interpret what happened? And then third, what should we do about it? How should we respond? So first of all, what happened, to be honest, my first impression came from a little short clip from some kind of a podcaster I never heard of, never saw him before, who was going on and on about how satanic the Olympics were and how, just look at them mocking Jesus Christ and we should be outraged. And I wasn't interested in that. I wasn't even going to look at it because I assumed it was, I see there were drag queens, they were doing some kind of scandalous display, but I assumed it was just a group of activists who made their way to Paris, taking advantage of the time and the place, the world stage, like always happens whenever there's a big gathering. There's always somebody who wants to attract attention to themselves or to their cause. And so that's what activists do. Activists do that. And my first thought was, well, just ignore them. Why give them space in the attention of the media? Well, I obviously was wrong. Part of my error, though, was I had a wrong understanding of what's involved in the opening ceremonies of the Olympics. I had in mind procession of athletes and people carrying flags and speeches and songs and an oath ceremony, and then, of course, the lighting of the Olympic flame cauldron. And then a formal announcement, let the games begin, and fireworks. I can understand. That's just what I assumed was happening. By the way, it's just a little side note. One thing we can see in these big public events is the importance of ritual in human life. People sometimes mock ritual, but it's really important. It's part of human experience. Symbolic gestures have great meaning to us. And that's connected to our own practice of the liturgy. Our liturgy is ritual. We have a many deep rituals, and we should do it a certain way. That's something we could say about the opening ceremonies of the Olympics. Something like the Easter Vigil of the secular sporting world. It's a really important thing, and it has to be done a certain way. That formal elements have to be included. You can't omit the flame. You can't omit the flags. Or the procession of the athletes. Anyway, when I saw that little clip, I said, this has nothing to do with the Olympics. Are they athletes? Are they on the field? Are they displaying some, national No, it was just a bunch of, I didn't know what it was, and I thought some, you know, right-wing fanatic was just overreacting. But as it turned out, those drag queens and those other performers were really part of the opening ceremonies. It really was an officially sanctioned part of the whole extravaganza, and it was put on public display for the whole world. There's an estimate that about 30 million people were watching the opening ceremonies. And this extravaganza took almost 4 hours, so there was more to it than I realized. And we're not talking about the whole 4 hours. I mean, some of it's good, some of it's bad, some of it's just cultural, some of it's just French. An array of French history, culture, that's not what we're focused on here. But one of the formal presentations during those 4 hours included this drag queen party fashion show concert presentation, which included a scandalous parody of The Last Supper. I tried to find it online last night, but it turns out that all online videos of the opening ceremonies, other than a few excerpts, have been removed from the internet. So, which is quite striking, because you can watch the whole opening ceremonies of the past four Olympics, but you can't watch the opening ceremonies from last Friday online. At least I couldn't find anything. And that's part of the controversy, that now they're hiding what happened. Anyway, there's no way to verify exactly all the terrible things that have been said about that Last Supper scene. I won't even mention some of the things that were described, because I don't really know. I didn't see it myself. But even the remaining pictures of what happened give us many reasons why we might take offense at it. I mean, there's scantily clad men and women, and famous drag queens and transgender performers and provocative dances, very provocative. And there was even a child there. I don't know if you saw in the pictures, a little girl right in the midst of this display. And at the center of this long table was a model clearly representing Jesus Christ, even though it was a woman, Jesus Christ at the Last Supper on the most holy night. And Jesus was portrayed by a lesbian activist in a low-cut dress, and she was wearing a silver headpiece, a circular crown of some sort, which shaped very much like a halo. Now, I know that the organizers claim that this tableau, this display, was really based on the feast of the Greek god Dionysius. And I'm sure that was part of it, because there's a lot to it. But the connection to the Last Supper, as portrayed by the world-famous painting of Leonardo da Vinci, is absolutely obvious. You can't deny it. And even the performers themselves admitted, yeah, this was a play on the Last Supper, on Da Vinci's painting. Okay, so that's what happened. Now, how are we to interpret this event that's become so controversial? Well, most people in the world, if they paid any attention at all, but let's say 30 million people watched it, most people probably don't think about it at all. They just dismissed it, you know, just another over-the-top French entertainment thing, and no significance, just get over it. Why you don't get hung up on that? And there's a lot more important things going on in the world. If you're going to protest something, why don't you protest war? That's the reaction of, I think, most people. And the organizers themselves said they intended it to foster unity and inclusion and love and peace and harmony and everything. And it was a pagan festival of celebration and of fashion and dance and music and food. That's their claim. But it was also a parody. It was also a mockery of the Last Supper. It was gross. It was insulting. It was offensive. It was even pornographic. It was an attack on what is most precious to Christians. It was anti-religious. It was anti-Christian. Even though they insist that it wasn't. Now, I've read these arguments, and you might be swayed by their claim of being innocent and trying to have a good time. if they really don't know what they're doing, that's even worse. Although at least they're not claiming to be hating the church or anything, but their actions speak louder than their words. And the core, there's a lot of offensive things that go on in public displays, but the core of what has offended Christians all over the world is blasphemy. Blasphemy, the disrespect of what is holy. You look it up in the Catechism if you want to, in this, under the section on the Second Commandment. You don't take the name of the Lord in vain, and you don't disrespect what is holy. The Olympic Committee offered a weak apology after there was some outcry, saying that they didn't intend to offend anybody. And if you were offended, we're sorry. We're really sorry. In other words, they don't admit that any wrong was done. They imply that if you're offended, it's your problem because we didn't do anything offensive. If you're offended, it's because you don't have any appreciation of what we were really doing. You don't understand culture and history and French fashion, and you Christians are so judgmental. Now, the apology didn't say that, but it implied it. It very clearly implied it, that we're the problem. Now, that was the official line from the Olympic Committee, but in the media and online, the much worse responses to the Christian protest against the blasphemy are accusations that anyone who is opposed to this creative, beautiful cultural display is simply anti-gay, anti-trans, anti-drag, anti-porn, anti-culture, anti-inclusion, anti-love. So anyone who's making a complaint, well, they can just be dismissed, they can be ignored because they're just being so narrow and so judgmental. I just want to say this, it should be clear to us that we're not being anti-gay, anti-anything, except anti-blasphemy, anti-mockery of what is holy. And we should be opposed to that. So that's, I say, how to interpret this. This is how we interpret it, because it's clearly a blasphemy. Now the third part is, what are we supposed to do about public blasphemy? What's the right Christian response? What would St. Alphonsus Liguori advise us to do? Or you could say, how do we sort out the what we've dragged into our net here? Well, we've announced that the intentions for this Mass, reparation, forgiveness, healing, conversion, damage has been done, it must be repaired. Sins, including our own sins, must be repented and forgiven. Wounds must be healed. And all of us are called to deeper conversion. So we're talking about a spiritual response. Now, I know some people, maybe I spent too much time looking into this last night, but some people are saying, well, why do you care? God can defend himself if he wants to. You don't have to defend God. You don't have to stand up for God. Well, that's a non-believer's way of thinking. Right? We're not defending God in the way we would defend, in the way we should defend a little child who was in that display. Now, that's someone who we should defend, a helpless little girl surrounded by an immoral display. No, we're not defending God in that sense, but what we are doing, what we must do, is stand in opposition to what is evil. Stand in opposition to blasphemous, scandalous display, public display, worldwide display. It's a big thing. It's not a little thing. And anger is the right response to evil and injustice. It's a right response. It's an automatic response. Jesus cleansing the temple is what comes to mind. When something is messed up, it should be cleaned up. That's the way it should be. Not that we should be violent, not that we should be destructive. As you know, if it was Islam being mocked, there would be violent protests. That's not the Christian response. But we must voice our opposition, and we must stand against the attack against God and against us. To turn the other cheek does not mean simply passively accepting every terrible thing that happens. To turn the other cheek is nonviolent, peaceful counter-witness. Not to condemn anyone, not to judge anyone's heart, but to condemn what's wrong, to judge evil doing, and say, this is evil. This is evil. This should not happen. But the most important, we could protest, we could go to the French embassy and protest, and that people have done that in different parts of the world, or write letters, that's all legitimate. But the most important response is the spiritual one, which is what we're doing here today. Because this event was not just misguided human performers. Behind scandals like this are always our spiritual enemies using spiritual weapons. So we must use spiritual weapons. They're much more powerful anyway. Spiritual weapons. Our battle, as the scriptures say, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. So the wisdom of the Catholic approach is to respond with prayer and sacrifice. Prayer and sacrifice, prayer and fasting, to make reparation for the offense. A reparation is a kind of technical term. I think we're used to it, but we might not think about what it really means. It's connected to the word repair, right? Reparation, it's to repair. It's a participation in the victory of Jesus Christ over sin. It's a way of fighting sin. Jesus is the one who fights sin, and he's already won the victory. But we can participate. That's what reparation is. Reparation, by the way, is at the heart of the Anawim spirituality. Since we're in an Anawim shrine here, and we see these figures standing at the foot of the cross, the Anawim at the foot of the cross, what are they doing? Jesus is the Savior. He's the victor. He's the one who crushes the serpent. He's the one who overcomes sin and death. Why do we need them there? But what are they doing? Well, they're sorrowful, yes. But they're also standing with him. They're also joining with him in offering his saving sacrifice. That's what Mary does. That's what the saints do. That's what the Anawim do. If you look at our morning prayer, the prayer that goes along with the icon of the our sorrowful mother, one of the lines is, and I hope you pray this prayer, Anawim people, Mary, make our hearts like yours, altars of reparation. There's the word, reparation. Altars of reparation for the afflictions and offenses against your son. Well, this event last Friday qualifies as an offense against Mary's son. So make our hearts like yours, altars of reparation for the afflictions and offenses against your son. Help us to bear our crosses, uniting our sufferings with his for the redemption of the world. That's reparation. To join in the victory, saving work of Christ. Also, in addition to that prayer, the prayer that we use so often when we honor the Sacred Heart, we'll be praying it tomorrow for First Friday, and we're going to pray it again today at the Holy Hour, we call it the consecration to the Sacred Heart, but it's also an act of reparation to the Sacred Heart. You know this prayer. Huh? The more your mysteries are rejected, the more firmly we will believe in them. The more impiety seeks to deprive us of our immortal hope, the more we will hope in you. The more your divinity is attacked, the more deeply we will adore it. That's reparation. When someone attacks what is holy, we honor what is holy. That's reparation. The more your sacraments are scorned and abandoned, that was scorn from the Eucharist at that display. The more often we will receive them with love and respect. Okay, I won't read it all, but we'll be praying this prayer during the Holy Hour after the Mass. So that's what we're doing this morning. And maybe I hope I haven't overdone it, but this is really important to make reparation. And the best spiritual gift is the Mass itself, the Holy Mass. Today's Thursday, the day of the Last Supper. this is the day when the Holy Eucharist is traditionally venerated, because it was instituted on Thursday night at the Last Supper. And since the Last Supper is what was mocked, it's fitting to offer a Mass in reparation. And then after the Mass, we'll have a Eucharistic Holy Hour, Eucharistic Adoration, an exact counter to the blasphemy, an exactly opposed action. We offer the Lord adoration, glory, honor, praise, to counter the blasphemy, the scandal, the mockery, the parody, the rejection, the sin. So we're offering Jesus himself, which is his offering to the Father. That's the offering, that's the weapon that conquers all. And so it's with hope, it's with confidence that we enter into this time of reparation, because we know that Jesus is victorious and he loves even those who attack him. He loves them, and we should love them too, and do our part to bring everyone into the kingdom of Jesus Christ.